Now, following chapel, there will be a lyceum that covers the history of Emmanuel. And as our chapel focus today, we will look at what the Bible has to say about this name, Emmanuel. It is nearly impossible to be a student here for very long and not know what that name means. You've been told more than once, Emmanuel, God with us. It's not only an appropriate name for a school of Christian students to have, it's also a fitting way to describe our everyday experience as the people of God. By faith, we live Emmanuel. We have God with us. That's always the way God meant it to be. From the very beginning, God made His people to be with Him. That is, face to face, in person, living together in perfect harmony. No fear, no shame, no disruption of sin whatsoever. And for a very brief time, that's the way it was in the garden. As we hear from selected verses in Genesis 1 and 2. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, He made into a woman and brought her to the man. A perfect beginning, a perfect life with God. So what happened? Why don't we see God face to face like they did? Why do we have a fear of His holy presence, as well as struggles with guilt and the need for His forgiveness all the time? You know the story of the fall. And the reason why God is still with us, but not face to face. Although our sin had the overwhelming potential to separate us from God forever, His grace would not let that happen. He would still be with us in the promise of a Savior. We now hear the account of Genesis 3 and the Emmanuel prophecy of Isaiah. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, to keep the promise of our salvation, God had to become the Emmanuel in person, in human flesh. God the Son had to become one of us. And as a man, as the God-man, He would experience our human difficulties, our human existence, which would include our temptations and our conflicts, but unlike Adam or you or me, He would succeed. And in the process of doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, He would also reveal the Heavenly Father as the God of grace who adopts you as His child through Christ. We hear the truth of God with us as the incarnate Christ in Galatians 4 and John 1. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Your Emmanuel reality, having God with you all the time, was not a simple matter of bringing people closer together or reestablishing broken lines of communication. No, God had to overcome the barrier of sin at a very incredible cost, the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus paying that debt for you and me. Yes, God is still with you, but only because of Christ crucified in your place and Jesus risen for our justification, the very things He said would happen in John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Our Emmanuel right now is Jesus. Yes, He returned to His heavenly glory and withdrew His visible presence from the earth. But that doesn't change the fact that He alone is both your intercessor in heaven to the Father and your constant companion every day on earth, just as He promised in Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God has created you to be His own when He brought you into the world. God has redeemed you as His own through the work of Christ. God has adopted you as His child by faith through the adoption of baptism and the power of the Spirit. And so He treats you as His heirs and has promised you a future Emmanuel. God with us, the way it was meant to be, forever in the heavenly glory as foretold to us in Revelation 21. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. We close our devotion singing the last two stanzas of hymn 738, the last two stanzas.